do in church is really important. Sometimes we can plan, and yet God has other plans if we didn't first consult Him. Sometimes God just changes things because He has something to speak or to share. And I just, maybe it's because I've gotten older, I'm real careful that we don't miss and that I never miss the opportunity to share the right word in the right moment. So we don't just share puff and fluff. And we can leave and say, oh, that was good. And I've had a lot of people say over the many years, oh, that's a good service. Or you don't really, there's never really a bad service with you, but that's great. But how changed are you? Because if it's really so good, there's evidence of that change. There's evidence that we were immersed in something good. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I'm so careful to make sure we go in the right direction and we don't miss Him. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good God, great God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes. I won't make you preach today. Unless you got it burning in you. If it's bubbling in you, I'll let you go. I'm trying to put him out of his miseries. Because I know what it is when you sit there and you may or may not preach and you're like, oh my God, I should have brought this or I should have thought this or, you know. I hear you. We're going to have him and Michelle preach in the next couple of weeks. I'll talk to you. Have you both. Either you can tag team on a Sunday, or I love it when people do that. You have two or three preachers, and they all preach in the same day, but they scrunch it into one message. It's awesome. But we'll have them do that. Over the next couple of months, there'll be some others preaching, including Pastor Jim and whatnot, filling in for me. That doesn't mean you have an excuse not to come. I think I'm going to share a little bit. Turn to your Bibles in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verse 11. As you're turning to your Bibles, next week starts the month of September, which is Mother, Recovery Month. So all month long, we're going to be addressing recovery in some form or another throughout the service and other things. And so trying to help the church to understand our place and our responsibility when it comes to recovery. It's not enough that we open our doors for them, for folks to come together for meetings. But what else is the church's responsibility? And so that we can have a full understanding of how best we can help those struggling with any form of addiction. And trust me when I tell you, there are people in the church that struggle with addiction. They're just not telling nobody. And so that's what September is. It's Recovery Month. And so we're going to be focusing on in each service at some point something to acknowledge folks that are and to support and to understand our place and our purpose to help people overcome. Hallelujah. So keep that in mind. Look in Acts 19. Let's look beginning and jump down to verse 11. Something's speaking to my heart this week. Verse 11 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Oh, Lord. So I just got a visual. That's no different than, it's really no different than when the people that we vote into office try to use scripture and they don't understand the power behind it, they don't believe in it, but they use it to get to you. It's the same thing when our presidents and our congressmen and our senators do this kind of joker stuff to try to get our attention and make us, you know, like them or have empathy for them or whatever. I've seen it done this week and it makes me ill. That's what's happening here. As he said, then some of these itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of Lord Jesus. They called on the name, but it didn't say they believed in the name. There's a difference. Saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches, not the Jesus who we believe. It says, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. Watch this, verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? My God. Jesus I know. Notice the evil spirit said this. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I was going to read on a little bit, but I'm going to stop there because I don't have a lot of time. Who are you? If we're not careful, I really believe that this is a word for the entire body of Christ. I think oftentimes in all the things that we do and all the things that we get caught up in, hell sometimes is looking at the church saying, who are you? We're singing about a name. Sometimes we even pray and use the name without really even believing. I've shared statistics before about how high the statistics are that even most Christians don't believe that when they pray that they're going to be answered. Most Christians don't believe that even though we pray that they're even going to be answered. A lot of Christians don't even believe that the devil exists. Think about that. And yet I believe that much of what we get caught up in and all the times that we are in and all the things that are going on and us needing to be a people now more than ever that we can call upon the name of the Lord, as the word says, and we can be saved, but we can call upon his name and that there's healing and miracles and deliverance and all of these things that are going on that should be going on in our lives that we can call upon the name of the Lord, or even when we have to come against the enemy in some form, when the enemy has a grip on our families or divisions among us, or as we spoke a moment ago, addiction or anything like that, if we're going to address a demon, I don't want the demon to look back at us and say, who are you? My point is, I believe the enemy needs to know who we are by name. How many of you know if you have enemies, you have enemies because they know you, right? I have people that don't like me, and everybody has haters of some kind. All y'all do. Not everybody loves Lois. Not everybody loves Geneva. Not everybody loves all of us. And yet our haters know who we are. They know our name. Because there's a reason that they don't like us. There's a reason that they're hating on us. Right. We get under their skin or we rub them the wrong way. But if the church isn't pushing against the things of hell, if it isn't pushing against what he is doing in our families and our homes and our communities, then the enemy's saying, well, who are you? I've never heard from you before. I've never come upon you before. I've never heard you pray. I've never had you confront me before. I've never had you demand that they be loosed and let go.
Right.
And if we're not careful, that's the kind of answer that we get back from the enemy and all that's going on. I said earlier in the pre-service announcements and that touching on a little bit of this, sort of heading in this direction, that we have to be a people, and what is it that we're going to be known for? Not just by the people who like us, but by the people who don't. I don't want us just to be known as a church that gives food, but I want us to be known as a people that represent the kingdom of God. You've heard me say it, that the Bible says that we're to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Ambassador represents, meaning that whatever we do in this world, we're to represent or represent Jesus Christ. What is the church doing that represents Jesus? Not just this church, every church. And the individual people, what do we do that represents him? What do we do when we walk in a place and demons flee? Let me think about that. When you and I leave church and we go to lunch at Eden Park or whatever, demons gonna get up and walk out? I heard a really great story, something similar to this, just recently. Pastor was on a commercial airliner, and he was flying, and he sat down, and he asked the stewardess, you know, for a magazine, or she said, do you want any magazines or whatever? He said, no, just you can get me the Bible. She brings the Bible over to him, and he's reading, and would he reading along, and he said, they're only like 45 minutes into this four-hour flight. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, the Lord speaks to me, and he says, there's a demon and a woman two rows to your right, or two rows back on your right. And so he said, being the guy that I am, he's a funny guy, he turns and looks back, and he said, as soon as he makes eye contact, he said, this lady was just like, you know, contorting or whatever. He turns around and he goes, God, no, not now. He said, I can't do anything about this. He said, if I get up and try to cast this demon out of this woman, he said, they're going to arrest me. He said, the U.S. Air Marshal was not going to let me cast the demon out of this woman, let alone lay hands on her, start praying in tongues, or any of the things that I have got to do to cast this demon out. And he said, he's just like that. He said, he heard the Lord say, I said, cast that devil out of that woman. He continues to argue with God. He said, God, I'm telling you. Finally, he's really nervous, and he's now, by this time, he is arguing with God verbally. He said, okay, I'm just going to start praying in tongues. He starts praying to the guy next to him. He looks at him. He says, are you all right? He says, oh, yeah. He starts praying in tongues. He said, all of a sudden, he said, he was getting up to get out of his seat, and he said, he heard the Lord say, I never told you to leave your seat. So, pastor says, oh, whew, this is good, God. He said, maybe I don't have to get arrested in the name of Jesus anyway. He said, cast it out right where you are. So the pastor said, he sat there, held on to the word, and he said, I just began to pray. He said, I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and then he said, devil, I command you in the name of Jesus, as a representative of Jesus Christ and his authority on the earth, let this woman go. He said, all of a sudden, he said, within 3 seconds, this woman goes, like that or something. Starts screaming and coughing, and then she begins to shake. Pastor stands up, and the stewardess runs over, and pastor goes, it's okay, it's okay. She just had a demon. And the watch this, and the stewardess is like, a demon? And everyone else is screaming and looking at her and all this, and now she's crying hysterically or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's just a demon. You know, I see this all the time at church. He said, she'll be all right. She'll be all right. She laying over the side of the thing and just crying and hysterical and being set free. He said, oh, she'll be all right. She'll recover in a few minutes. Just leave her alone. He said, everybody's still in shock. And another stewardess or whatever they call, flight attendant is the right term for everybody that would be offended, comes over and he says to the pastor, he says, well, are there any other demons? Pastor says, well, nope, not that I know of. He goes, oh, good. He said, because that scared me. He sits down in his, back down in his seat, and he said about 45 minutes later, that same stewardess comes over, flight attendant, comes over and says, the captain would like to see you. Pastor said, oh, my God. God, you told me not to get out of my seat. I didn't think I was going to get arrested. But he walks back into the galley. The captain meets him, and they shut the curtain, and he says, the captain says to him, he says, I heard that you cast a demon out of a woman. Pastor said, yeah, I did. He said, a demon. Pastor said, yeah, it was a demon. He said, the captain said, are you sure it was a demon? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I've done it enough. He said, I've been confronted by the devil all my life. I know a demon when I see a demon. Pilate said, wow. He said, man, he said, Pastor, do you know if there are any other demons on the plane? Pastor said, no, I don't think. He said, I didn't see any. And captain said, well, do you think we could go and walk up and down the aisles and see? Pastor, this is a true story, by the way. Absolutely true. I'm not making it up. Pastor said, well, if there was, I'd sense it in my spirit. And finally, the captain says, well, he said, I'm sorry to be so pushy. He said, but I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer, too. And he said, that's something I've never been able to witness or see in my life. And he said, I've always wanted to be able to witness that somebody getting set free from a demon. He said, that's which is why I wished you would have waited and let me know so I could have come and be a part of it. My point is that that pastor was being an ambassador for Jesus. He represented him in the earth on an airline, a commercial airline. It was not a, well, he was afraid of possibly landing himself in jail. But God's plan had some contingencies involved. And see how it's important that we listen to God. I paused earlier and was waiting and listening on God, because often we just want to charge forward. And I've watched people just do things erratically and sporadically, and sometimes we'll do damage that way if we don't listen to his instructions and what he's commanding us to do. Come on, somebody. And that we've got to be able to listen to what he's trying to tell us and the guidance that he gives us. Yeah, God does want to use us to set people free, but it's often the how that where we mess it up. It's often that God does want us, the church, to be able to love and reach the world with his love. But it's the how where the church messes up, because we do it with a fist and a finger in their chest. Imagine the damage that could have potentially been done if some wacko man preacher would have got up out of his seat and he would have just randomly went over and started laying hands on some woman on a commercial air flight, praying in tongues in some language that most of the people on that flight had never heard. They would have arrested him. But see, God is more powerful than me having to make a physical connection. God said, I can come in peace. And I can move in peace, and you, when you pray, it is powerful enough to reach her just a few rows back and be set free. Because he's God, I'm not. Uh-huh. So who are you? Who are you? Who are you and I going to be for our city? Who are you to your family. I often, when I do funerals for people, I focus on and I preach to the, I can't preach to the dead. I can't preach the dead into heaven. And so I have to preach to the living. And I have to preach about what their legacy will be and what they will leave behind. I almost throw that into every funeral that I do. Because we'll stand and we'll admire and reminisce over those that we've lost. But what did they leave behind? What message? What message are you and I going to leave behind? And that drives me all the time. Of that when my time comes and I leave the earth, I already have mine planned. It has to be a celebration at the church. It's a revival service. It's not in a funeral home. It's right here. Right here. Where everybody can clap and shout and sing and dance and testify and all of those things, and the word can go forth. That may seem weird to you, but I don't want people mourning because I'm going. You should be celebrating. Hallelujah. My enemies will really be celebrating. Thank you, Jesus. You took him home. But it's in those moments where we find that what we hear often in those moments is who that person was. Good or bad, you hear who they are, who they were. But the question that we've got to ask, the question that the demon asked of these people was, who are you? I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? I have to spark this question to you and I today because I want to make sure that you and I are being a proper representative of Jesus Christ in the earth. That every decision that we make and everywhere that we go and every interaction that we have, that we're representing him well. I said earlier that we can't get caught up in the news of the day. I can't get caught up in whether I agree or disagree with things around the world and all of that. I can't get caught up in giving my opinion and all that. All I can do is making sure I'm being an agent of change, an agent of peace, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and making sure that we are demonstrating who he is in the earth right now. Maybe that'll involve casting a demon out one day and being an agent of peace the next, and then showing joy in the next moment, and then demonstrating the gifts of the Spirit in the next. But it could always be a changing and evolving and growing, absolutely. But we have to make sure that we are being the kind of people that we look like him, that we act like him, that we walk like him, that we talk like him. Who are you? I think oftentimes when we go to the God in prayer, and I don't want that to be so of us, that when we go to God in prayer and we say, in Jesus' name, I command you, devil. I posted a prayer the other day and someone commented and said, I need scripture for this. I thought, you must be out of your mind. Do you not know the word that you have the authority to decree a thing and it will be established? I couldn't even address it because I thought, I'm not going there. I've had enough Facebook battles for the year. Because it doesn't give me any peace. And it doesn't allow me to operate as an ambassador either. Uh-huh. Think about that the next time you share something. Does it represent him well? My. Who are you? He said, you're using his name. But they immediately recognized that they didn't believe in the name. There's a lot of Christians that use the name, but they don't believe in the name. You know how I know that they don't believe in the name? These are people that I know. Because you're believing in the news more than you are the name. Watch this. We are allowing things that are temporal and that will not remain divide us. So I said earlier in the week, it's nothing but a trick of the enemy that the church is getting caught up in to allow ourselves to be divided over what's happening in the world right now. Stop it. That is proof to me that we don't believe in his name, because if we believed in his name, what they say on the news doesn't matter. Are you hearing me? It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter how bad the fire is or how bad the hurricane is. His truth remains. It doesn't matter what's going on in Afghanistan. It doesn't matter whether you wear a mask or whether you don't. Just do what you need to do and let me alone. Doesn't matter if you believe it's true or you believe it's fake news. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the word of God. Look, we're allowing things to divide us that don't need to divide us because we believe in that stuff. We're believing in science more than we are the word of God. Boy, I got quiet, but it's true. It's proof of what you believe more. If you get COVID, just plead the blood. Because if you don't believe that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than COVID, then we're already in trouble. Hallelujah. We only often come to Jesus when things get so bad and it looks like it's the end. But I'm telling you, we are in the end times. That's why the Bible says that there will be rumors of war and all of these things, and that families will be divided. Fathers will come against sons. Who knew it was going to be about something crazy like this? We thought it would be divided over bigger things. No, we're fighting over masks and vaccines. And if you get it, well, then you just got the mark. And if you didn't, well, you know, stop. When the church gets caught up in that, we're not being a representative. We're not being an agent of change. We're not being a people that can speak to the situation and bring peace. Remember Jesus when he came out on the water and the disciples were out on the boat and they were in the midst of the storm? I'm not even getting to the bulk of my message, but that's okay. When Jesus came out onto the water and the disciples were in a storm, what happened? He comes out on the water and he speaks what? Peace be still. Meaning that what you and I've got to be able to do, if you are an ambassador for him, meaning if you are saved, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, believing in who he is, that means you and I should be able to walk into a storm. Let me ask you this. Why are some of you so-called Christians the one creating the storm? You know what I'll dare say to you? That you're not his. You're not his if you're creating a storm, because that's not what he would do. Oh, I know I said it. I'm going to get in some big trouble. You'll have to preach for the next 6 weeks at least. I'm telling you that we are full, and churches are full of people that use the name, but they don't believe the name. We'll conveniently call on the name, but there's no power behind it. And all of hell is saying, who are you? Some of them even rattle off in tongues. That's true. Because what I know about Jesus is if he said something controversial, like when he called folks dogs or when he rebuked them, he always followed up with love. Always. So usually when you and I drop a nuke on someone on social media or our family or whatever it might be, you know, about fighting over all this stuff and whatnot, the end result is not love. If it was, then why aren't you talking? If it was out of love, let me. This is how you always know if what you're doing is based out of love, is if you can carry any conversation and not get it out of hand. It's done in love. The difference between, yeah, everybody has heated arguments, except for Michelle and Scott. But even a heated argument, watch this. When you love me, even in a heated argument, you won't wound me. If you love me. Jesus, even when he when he had to speak truth, he didn't wound them to hurt them. He didn't do things to slice them open. He did and spoke truth to draw them in. He spoke truth to the woman at the well. He asked probing questions to find out who she was and why she was hurting. When was the last time you took the time to get to know the person that you disagree with so much? I'm one of those where if you disagree with me, I would like to sit down with you and try to understand you. Because if I can understand you, then I know how better to love you. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm usually right. But it does help me to love you more and better and easier. The demon said, "Who are you?" "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Who is this church going to be? Who are we representing? I hope you're not just representing me." Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let me dare say this. People say, "I've been praying about it and nothing's happened." Do you really believe? "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you?" I thought about this week. There's so many areas that we're praying about. And there's people, part of our congregation that's watching online, there's people that are relying on us. Prayer requests that came in this morning that people are relying on us. Areas of that our nation needs help and areas around the globe. And we heard from Africa this week and got asked to come to Kenya to speak. And all of these things that people are desperate for a move of God. Desperate to see something change. So as I was praying, I started asking, "Lord, would you show me if I lack the faith to believe? If my belief has any reason why it's not being answered?" And the reason I started praying that is because this word has been thinking about it over and over, and it just came to me earlier in the week, and I've been thinking about it. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? Because when we're praying that a spirit of infirmity leave someone's body, that spirit's looking back at me saying, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You can use the name of Jesus, but unless you believe the name of Jesus, you saying it has no power." So even an unsaved person can call on Jesus in a time of trouble. I heard a video recently. Somebody was in trouble, and they were, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me." And I'm like, you're living like a heathen, and you're going to think he's going to come rescue you now. But you don't live like you believe. And because, see, when you believe in Jesus, you'll live differently. You want to look like him, walk like him, act like him, talk like him. Are you hearing me? When you believe. When you don't believe in the name of Jesus, you don't look like, walk like, act like, and talk like him. Oh, good God. So in other ways, you will know that someone believes. You will know who to go to when you need prayer. You will know who to go to when you need counsel if they look like, act like, walk like, and talk like Jesus. And if they don't steer clear, if they don't ask them to pray for you. Because the devil's going to look back at them and say, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" That spirit of infirmity won't go. That demonic attack won't have to let them go. How many are hearing what I'm saying? There are people and there are prayer needs and things that we're covering and people that we're covering. And I believe that the church, a lot of people really do care about what's happening in people's lives. But the big mistake is that they don't truly believe. Because we've not fully introduced people to who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. We've not introduced them well enough. What we've done so well is say, you can do this and you can do this and this and this, but don't do this. But we've not really demonstrated the love of God well enough. The Bible says that love conquers some things, right? Some things. All. Well, gee. Love conquers all. My God. Well then, if love conquers all things, and there's an area of your life that's not moving, you better look and see, is it rooted in love? I've had to find myself this week shutting off the news, distancing myself from social media, because I was getting caught up in the fury of all that's going on. I said, Lord, let me be a proper ambassador for you. Let me represent you in the earth in a manner. Like I said earlier, that when I do speak to a situation, I'll speak to it with authority and with power. And it's something that you can get behind. It's something that as if you would have said it yourself. Because I don't want the enemy to be able to look at me or say to any of the times I pray or to any situation I'm confronted with, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Are you operating in the full power and authority that you can operate in? Because the Bible says when you believe, you can pray and ask anything. And it will be done. So who are you? Are we an ambassador or are we an imposter? Are we an ambassador or are we an imposter? Meaning we're looking like the real thing, but underneath it all, you know. See, there's a difference when you get the real genuine of something versus an imitation. Crab legs are great, but when you get the imitation, it's just not the same. Right? Any kind of food you like, the original version is always the best. When you get the imitation of something, you know, if you get vegan cheese, it's just not cheese, man. I've used it. There's times I still do, but it's like, it doesn't melt. You put it in the oven and it just sort of droops. It doesn't melt. And it's oily. It's not, you know, because it's imitation. And the list goes on and on and on. And the reason the world is not drawn to us like they were Jesus and like they were the early church, it's because the church has become an imitation. And anytime you offer an imitation over the real thing, they'll always choose the real thing over the imitation. So are you the real thing? Are you the real thing? That wasn't even where I was going to go today. But you got it for free anyway. I want to share something with you. I've read this a number of times over the course of the years in ministry. I think it's one of the best summaries of understanding who not just our Heavenly Father is, who our King is. And gives a greater understanding for you and I of why we praise the way we do. Why we shout, why I can get passionate about praying for someone. I was in Walmart the other day and I was in a hurry. Lady that used to come out to the fair to our food distributions. She said, yelled over the aisle. She said, hey, Pastor Adam, pray for me. Pointing like this, pray for me. And keep walking. It'd been a while since I had seen her. We used to see each other all the time. Every time I'd go to Walmart, she was there. It was funny. She said, pray for me. And she keeps moving. She said, I really need it. Took my buggy, turned around, went after her. I said, hang on. So we ended up stopping over by the Home Goods entrance. And I said, you all right? She said, I'm just going through a lot. She begins to share her story. I said, well, if you want us to pray, let's pray right now. She said, right now? I said, right now. I said, the same God that hears me on Sunday morning will hear us right now. He'll meet you right where you're at. It's either we're going to believe God or we're not. Are you okay with that? And she said, no, I'm okay. I said, well, the Bible says if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So let's pray. We started praying. She just, power of the Holy Spirit overcomes her. She begins to cry. We get done praying and I look up and there are three other women standing behind us. He said, we saw y'all praying. We just figured we might as well join in. See, if we're not careful, we'll miss the opportunities. Yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you Sunday. To not just encourage the one, to encourage the others that will be affected or the people who walked by. Maybe they thought we are crazy, but maybe they thought, what is he speaking in? Maybe. Or maybe they walked by and said, that's that food preacher. Well, he really does love people. Maybe that'll be the thing that'll cause somebody else to stop me on the food side and said, I saw you praying over there. That's pretty cool. It's a young, like 15, 16-year-old boy. You saw it, didn't participate in it. I said, that's pretty cool. Plant seeds. The next time he sees me, he might need prayer. At least now he knows he can approach me. Because I didn't put a finger in his chest. He saw me operating out of love. To God's people. He said, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things that you do not. So I want to end this morning with this reading. It's powerful. Michelle, you probably heard it. That's my King. Gets me excited every time. Because I want you to understand who my King is. The reason I would take the time to share a message like this to the church. I try to always maintain a consistency where when we come in for Sunday morning, that it's a message that would stretch you and yet encourage you and yet grow you. And many times it's not one of those hard messages like this that would question your salvation or your motives. I just couldn't get away. Even though I didn't get to where I wanted to go, the Holy Spirit's speaking, so we'll let him do what he wants to do. The question remains, who are you? And the only way you'll be able to answer who you are is if you know who he is. Last point, I was talking with a couple going through hell and back. And I was just at my end and I was trying to help them. I didn't know what to say. I felt like I had said everything I could say, and it was like it wasn't being received or couldn't be heard. And finally, I just said, God, I need a word that would pierce through all of the hurt and all the pain and all the years of trauma. I need a word. And the Lord spoke to me. Took me to His word. He said, here's what I want you to tell the wife. And here's what I want you to tell the husband. He said, I want you to tell the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I said, God, for real? I said, in the midst of all of this, you for real want me to say that? He said, I said, tell him to love her as Christ loved the church. And then I thought, boy, how many times the church has left the groom down. You know that you are the bride of Christ. And yet he loves us. So I go to my meeting and I looked at the husband and I said, I know you're mad at her right now. I know you're angry at her right now. But I said, God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means stop hurting her. Stop wounding her. I don't know why I'm saying this to you. Then I shared with her that the Word of God says for her to honor or respect wives, her husband. A couple days went by and I thought, man, that damn Word of God. A couple days go by and I hear from the husband. Things have taken a turn. He said, what you said to love my wife as Christ loved the church. He said, when you spoke that to me, it was like everything in me, all my rage, all my unforgiveness, everything that was in me, it was like someone pulled the plug out of the sink and left it all go. He said, now when I look at her, I love her. Because I understand how he loves me in spite of all my wrong. I was like, that's cool, God. That's cool. Why am I saying that? Because I gave him a visual of who Jesus is. Because I was able to give him a visual of our King. I was able to give him a visual of how he was supposed to love here on the earth, the same way that Christ loves us. That same word I'll give to every believer that's in this room and online today, to every Facebook troll that's going to blow me out of the water. Love us, Christ. Love. It doesn't, if what we're going to say or do doesn't come as an attribute of love, don't. Don't post it. Don't share it. Don't say it. Don't argue it. Because what I do know is that while we're arguing about all this other stuff, while people really are dying from a virus, and from what's going on in Afghanistan, and from the hurricane that's hitting, and from the fires out west, guess what? They're dying without Jesus. And I know the church prayed for him. You know what the devil said? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who are you? So who are you? You can know who you are and you know who he is. So I'm going to read this now. That's my King. Usually when I read it, people will worship. Sometimes they get excited. Sometimes they'll shout. Sometimes they'll dance. Sometimes they're quiet. Sometimes they're absorbing it. Whatever you got to do, and if you've got to get out of your seat and get to an altar and pray and repent, do it. If you got to just shout his name, whatever you got to do and response you need to do, as we're going to close with this, do it. Because I'm going to tell you about my King that you and I are to be an ambassador for, my King that we're to represent in this city. My King that we get to represent on the internet and around the globe every day of the week. My King that we get to demonstrate and be an ambassador for when we hand out food and when we give out clothes and when we pray at Walmart. My King that I get to represent when I sit down at a family dinner or when I sit behind my computer on Facebook. Whatever it is that we do, we're an ambassador. So who are you? Are you an imposter? Or are you the real thing? Because my King, he was born a king. Turn it up a little. Think about that. My King was born a king. He wasn't elected. He was born a king. The Bible says that he's a seven-way king. He's the King of the Jews, which means he's a racial king. Aha. See, he's the answer for everything. The Bible says he's the King of Israel, makes him a national king. He's the King of righteousness, and he's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven, and he's the King of glory. He's the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. That's just a little of who my King is, but I wonder, do you know him? Do you really know who my King is? See, don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And he said, the firmament showeth his handiwork. My King is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, my King, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast, and he's immortally graceful. My King is imperially powerful and impartially merciful. That's who my King is. My King, well, he's God's son. He's sinner's savior. My King is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. My King, well, my King is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine to true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my King. My King, he's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. Think about that. I said he's the one that can supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available to the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strong. He's a strong God, and yet he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners, and he discharges debtors. He delivers the captives, and he defends the feeble. He blesses the young, and he serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged, and he rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. Yes, he is. My king, see, he's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace, and he's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway to holiness, and he's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers, and he's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of peace, and he's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. See, that's my king. Yes, that's my king. That's just a little bit about my king. My king, well, his office is manifold. His promise, well, it's sure. His light, it's matchless. His goodness is limitless, and his mercy, it's everlasting. His love never changes. His word, it's enough, and his grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. See, I wish I had the ability to really describe him to you. But see, my king is indescribable. He's really indescribable. All of these words can't really give you a greater understanding of who my king is, because he's indescribable. Yes, he is. My king is not just indescribable. My king is incomprehensible. But my king is beyond that. My king is invincible. And my king is irresistible. See, I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Let alone can a man even explain him. You see, my king, you can't get him out of your mind, and yet you can't get him off of your hand. My king, you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. You see, the Pharisees, they couldn't stand him. But they found that they could not stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Yet witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave could not hold him. See, that's my king. Yes, that's who my king is. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach my king. And guess what? My king is not going to resign. That's my king. That's my king. See, thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power and the glory. All the power belongs to the king. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. Think about that. Forever and ever and ever. When you get done saying forever and forever and forever and forever, and the Bible says you can say amen. So it shall be. That's a little bit about who our king is. That's who he is. And when you can understand who he is, it helps you to know who you are. When you know who you are, you and I can lead the world to Jesus. So who are you? let the enemy or the world be able to say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Who are you? Stand to your feet. Who are you? Who are you? I believe, even though I didn't get to the fullness of the message, that this message, if we'll allow it to ponder it and we'll think about it, it should cause us to get busy for the kingdom. That wherever I go, I'm an ambassador. I can't just be a preacher when the camera and the TV lights are on. But you have to be when you go to Walmart, or Aldi's, or the Ford dealership. Or really, where you really need to go is the Chevy. That's where they need Jesus. My point is that wherever you go, let them know who you are. Let them know who you are. Because the one thing I won't let them say about me, imagine if he was the real thing. He was just the imitation. Don't let them say that about you. We're going to pray for our church, for our community, for every person that's heard this word. And on your way out, you can give your tithes and offerings here, and people online can give it.